Hey everybody, before we begin with the sermon today, I want to tell you about Summer's Best Week. It's a program that we do every summer for kids who are going to be in first grade through sixth grade next year. It's going to be an incredible opportunity. And this year, it's going to be all online, so your kids and your kids' friends can all participate. But today, you need to go to gracebible.church and register. Registration closes soon. So today, right now, go to gracebible.church. and register. And while you're there, and this is for all of us, so if you don't have kids or no kids or like kids, this next part's for you. Right on our homepage as well, there is a Bible study that goes with our sermon every week that you can do with your family before you get to the message on Sunday. It's called the Story of Hope Bible Study, and I would encourage you to do that. It will make our time together on Sunday so much more rich, and so you can find that as well. Okay, today I want to begin with a question, and here's my question for you. When you think about Christianity, when you think about following Jesus, if you were going to think about one word, what's the first word that comes to your mind? When you think about Christianity, what's the first word that comes to your mind? Now, of course, I don't know what that is, but I'll tell you what I think it is for many people. I think it's this word, rules. I think that for many people, maybe not you, but for many people, rules are the first thing they think about when they think about Christianity, which is so unfortunate for so many reasons. And one of the big reasons that rules are an unfortunate first word to come up with is that rules are the opposite of hope. Rules are the opposite of hope. In fact, rules take us down one path and hope takes us down another path. And we could say it like this, just to be really, really clear, rules never equal hope. And this summer, we are seeing the story of hope together. And I want to tell you, when you think about what it means to be a Christian, when you think about following Jesus, when you think about Christianity, I would love for you to think about hope. I'd love for you to think about hope. And we are going to see today in our story that God's heart, from the beginning of the story all the way through, has never been about rules. It's never been about rules. In fact, you're going to see, ironically, today, it's almost about the opposite of rules. We're going to be in the book of Psalms today. We spent some time in Genesis. Last week, Ryan was in Joshua. We're going to jump into Psalms today. The Psalms are the prayer book of ancient Israel. They are beautiful songs and poems written to God and about God. And in Psalm 32, which is one of my favorite Psalms, we're going to read this today. Psalm 32. The psalmist David writes this, "Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered." Now think about this in the context of what we just said. Most people think about Christianity, or most people think about following Jesus or being a follower of God. David says, "Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven or covered." Is that what you thought he would say? You know what I thought he might say? I thought he might say something like this. "Blessed is the one who does not need to be forgiven." Have you ever felt like following Jesus is more about not needing to be forgiven? That Christianity is about not only the rules, but obeying the rules and getting the rules right? If you have, I want to introduce you to this idea today. From the Psalms that's carried throughout the entire scriptures, this story of hope that your heavenly Father wants for you, this beautiful thing called forgiveness. Look at how the psalmist says it in the next verse. He says, "Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit." See, right from the top, David, a man after God's own heart, David, the warrior king of ancient Israel, the man who obeyed God, he says from the beginning, "You are blessed, not if you do everything right," because he knew, we're not going to get to it in this series, but he knew that he didn't do everything right, "but you are blessed when you walk in forgiveness." See, and the reason that David knew this is that David knew what it was like to pretend like he didn't need to be forgiven. Look at verse 3. He says this in verse 3. He says, when I kept silent, when I didn't admit my sin, when I didn't admit that I needed to confess my transgressions, when I kept silent. And David is showing us what is in your heart and what is in my heart. And that is, when we do something wrong, when we commit a sin against God or against another person, it is in all of us to want to keep silent. Now, there are a lot of different ways that we keep silent. Here are a few different ways that we keep silent. Sometimes we keep silent through denial. We just flat out pretend that we did nothing wrong. So I didn't do it wrong. It's not my fault. If you weren't so sensitive, we wouldn't have a problem. Everybody's doing it. It's actually okay to do. You know, that's how my mother always treated me. It's just what people do. And it's so common when we find ourselves regretting a choice we made, confronted with our own sin. Instead of confessing, we deny. Now, sometimes we keep silent not by denying. Sometimes our silence is more active. Sometimes we're silent in that we blame others. We blame others. We try to turn it around. We try to make it about the other person. I mean, we can easily look into our lives. You can look at your life and you can find a time when you did something wrong and you knew you did something wrong and they knew it and you knew that they knew it, but you continued to blame. If you live with someone like this, you know how frustrating it is to just want an apology and instead to get blame. But sometimes it's not denial. Sometimes it's not blame. Sometimes we just like to hide. We just want to get away. We just want to pretend like nothing ever happened. And here's the thing about hiding. You can hide physically. You can physically leave the room. You can leave the house. You can leave the city, the state. You can go away physically. But just as powerful and sometimes actually more deadly, you can hide emotionally. And we are tempted to disengage from relationships when we feel like our sin is so painful, is so dark, when we feel like it just can't be forgiven. But look at what happens. Look at what happens as we embrace these activities. Look at what the psalmist says. He says, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long, for day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. And the psalmist is describing for us in this beautiful and true poetry what we have all known. When we have committed sin, when we've done something that we regret, and we're denying, we're blaming, we're hiding. We think we're denying, we're blaming, we're hiding. In reality, the only one that's suffering, maybe not the only one, but the person who's suffering, that we're hurting, is ourselves. It's ourselves. Now, here's the thing. These habits, they can show up in really big ways. And some of you are feeling maybe even today the weight of something you did that no one knows about. And you have this just weight on you. And maybe it's something big like that. But it doesn't have to be. It could be something much smaller. I mean, I had an experience like this in my house just maybe a week or two ago. I walked into the kitchen in the morning, came out of my office in my garage, as I'm still working at home, as many of us are, walked into the kitchen, and the bagels were on the counter, and someone had obviously made a bagel, and the bagel bag was open. Say that 5 times fast. And I don't even eat bagels, but I like fresh food, and I think people should eat fresh food. And I knew which of my children was the primary bagel eater, so I said to said child, who will remain nameless, Micah, I said to my son, Micah, hey, are you just going to let the bagels go stale? And my son, in an absolutely brilliant and moderately respectful way, said to me, Dad, if you want me to close the bagels, why don't you just ask me to? Why are you being so passive aggressive? Now, in that moment, I was cut to my heart because my 15-year-old had just named a way that I had sinned against him. In fact, he had put his finger on something that I realized I struggle with more than I wish I did, and that's being passive aggressive, not just saying what I meant. And in that moment, I felt shame. And in that moment, I thought to myself, who are you to tell me what to do? Why don't I just ground you and send you up to your room and take your, and I thought, go through the whole thing. And you know, it's, whatever happened, happened. And then sometime later I had to come back to him because it was just weighing on me. I had to say, hey buddy, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I was passive aggressive with you. I should have just asked you to close the bagels. Will you forgive me? And will you help me to not do this in the future? Because that's not who I want to be. But I'll tell you, I mean, as silly a thing as it is, that gap of time between when I treated my son wrongly and was willing to admit it, it was painful. And that's just about breakfast food. You know what that feels like when it's even darker. See, here's the thing about denial, blaming, and hiding. You can't ever fix sin with denial, blame, or hiding. It doesn't matter how much power you have. It doesn't matter if you're the parent and they're the child. It doesn't matter how much money you have, how smart you are. If you have done something that you know is wrong, you cannot fix it. You cannot make progress. You cannot make it better with denial, blame, or hiding. It will never get better. Now, here's the incredible good news. The psalmist, David, shows us the path forward. And listen to these words that come next. Here's what he says. He says, then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. I acknowledged it. I confessed it to the Lord. Now, this is really scary. I mean, it's not really that scary when it's your kid and it's bagels. That's not that scary. But when it's your spouse, when it's your boss, when it's the authorities, when it's repeated, when it's words that cut to the core, to acknowledge, to confess is really, really scary. And it's in these moments, I can't encourage you enough, it's in these moments when you know you've done something wrong and you're thinking about what to do. If we're gonna confess, if we're gonna acknowledge, if we're gonna move forward, if we're going to really deal with our sin, we need to remember this key truth that we've been talking about in all of these messages. We've been talking about this every single week. Here's the truth you need to remember. Your story is never the whole story. You need to remember that your story is never the whole story. And here's why you need to remember this. Here's why you need to remember this. Listen. If you think that your story is the whole story, if you think that all there is in this situation is who you are and what you've done, then you're going to believe that denial, blame, or hiding are your only options. But if you can remember, if I can remember that my story and your story, it's not the whole story. There's a bigger story going on. We're a part of God's story and what he's doing in the world. And we get God into our story and God's story into our story. All of a sudden, we have his resources. We have his resources. And here's the thing your heavenly Father wants you to know today. When you acknowledge your sin to him, when you confess your sin, well, we'll just look at it for yourself in the verse. I acknowledge my sin to you. I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. When you acknowledge your sin to God and you bring it to him, you confess it, you admit that it's true, and you ask him to forgive you, he will forgive you. Here's the good news about the story of hope. The story of hope is the story of forgiveness, not rules. It's the story of forgiveness, not rules. And I'll tell you what, it breaks my heart that there are so many people walking around, and when they think about following Jesus, when they think about what it means to be a Christian, they think to themselves that God's all about rules. And let me tell you, your heavenly Father, from the beginning of the story through the end of the story, he's not about rules. He is about forgiveness. So sometimes people will ask me, they'll say, Eric, why is God so angry in the Old Testament and then Jesus is so loving in the New Testament? It's almost like they're two different versions of God. What's going on with that? And I want you to see today that from the beginning of the story all the way through, there is continuity in God's heart for you, his grace, his offer of forgiveness. It's all throughout the Old Testament because it's always been God's heart. The story of hope has always been a story of forgiveness. And then here's what's so cool. Listen to this. Once you discover this story of hope and you discover this forgiveness, all of a sudden, your Heavenly Father invites you to invite him into your life, not because of rules, but because he loves you. Because he loves you. Look at the rest of the passage. He says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. You know who you don't want to instruct you and teach you? You don't want someone to instruct you or teach you if they are angry at you. If you think that God is all about rules and that God is all about being angry at you, you're not going to want to know what he thinks. But when you discover a loving Heavenly Father who offers you forgiveness, all of a sudden, the person who's offered you forgiveness, well, gosh, what else might they have for me? We could say it like this. It's so important to remember. Instruction from God follows forgiveness from God. Instruction from God follows forgiveness from God. God has rules for his kids. He has instruction for his kids, just like I do for mine. And so as you follow Jesus, as you have a relationship with your Heavenly Father, as you recognize, God, I have sinned against you and I need to be forgiven, now my heart is open to what he has to say. David continues in verse 8. He says, the psalmist says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. This is God speaking to us. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. It's his loving eye. He loves you. So he wants to lead you in what's best for you. Not rules so that you can earn acceptance, but having received forgiveness, walk in love. Verse 9, I love this picture in verse 9. He says this. He says, do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. You ever ridden a horse? You know, like a horse, they have the reins thing. And I don't know a lot about horses, but I've done it a few times. And they put that thing in their mouth, and then you can pull it, and the horse will go. That's not how God relates to his kids. It's not how he relates to his kids. No, he invites you into a relationship of forgiveness and love and instruction. Why? Because from the beginning, the story of hope is the story of forgiveness. Now we see the culmination of this story in the person of Jesus. David wrote this around 1000 BC, about 1000 years before Jesus was born. And then over all the history of Israel, the people of Israel have various seasons of following God and not following God. Ultimately, they decide to turn their backs on him. And after a rough several hundred years, when Jesus comes onto the scene, he comes to offer his life as the payment, as the ransom for your sin and mine. And when Jesus dies and rises again and ascends to heaven, he guarantees that the story of hope will always be a story of forgiveness. And I just got to ask you today, in your story, are you still trying to earn your way into God's good graces or your spouse's good graces or your kids or your bosses? Or are you willing to walk in a relationship with your Heavenly Father based on forgiveness? Are you able to walk in relationship with other people, relationships rooted not in your perfection, but in mutual forgiveness? See, this is the story of hope. This is what I want for you today. I was thinking about my life. I was thinking about being married 23 years. I was thinking about having 5 kids, being here at Grace for a bunch of years now, almost 17, I think, and in all of my relationships, anything I've done for any amount of time, the team here that I love working with, some of the people I've been with the whole time I've been here, you know, at the heart of all of those relationships, at the heart of every good thing in my life, forgiveness. It's the story of hope. It's the story your heavenly Father invites you into. It's the story, well, it's a story that can change your life. So today, if you don't know what it means to find forgiveness from your heavenly Father, let me invite you to begin today by saying, God, I admit that I've messed it up. I need your help, your forgiveness. If you have a broken relationship, maybe today's the day you humble yourself. If you're not sure where to start, you can never go wrong acknowledging, confessing, admitting. And then because of who God is and his character and because who Jesus is and his death and resurrection, you can know that he will offer you forgiveness and he will instruct you in where you go from here. Let me pray for us, and then I'd love to share with you a few questions that you can discuss with people you might be watching with this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today in Jesus' name, and I ask in Jesus' name that you would open each of us in our hearts to know that we need to seek forgiveness from you and from others. And would you help us, give us the grace to be done with hiding and blame and denial, and instead may we acknowledge what is and believe that you will forgive us because of Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Hey, here's a couple questions you might use to discuss with people you're with. Sort of switched them up for today. What stood out to you from the message? Secondly, what do you think God is saying to you personally? What's he saying to you personally today? And then thirdly, maybe most importantly, what are you going to do about what God is saying to you?